The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Six-word memoirs. Have you seen these? For instance, one person's memoir in six words. "It all changed in an instant." I wonder what that story's about. Another person, "Nobody cared, then they did. Why?" Six words. Some of them are humorous. "Found Jewish princess. Goodbye, succulent pork." "The psychic said I'd be richer." "Got Facebook account. Life not improved." Some are kind of haunting. "I want to live, not exist." "Fought in Iraq, still fighting here." "Not quite what I was planning." Six-word memoirs. "Jesus is risen from the dead." Enough said. Could stop here, I suppose, but I won't. Jesus is risen from the dead. That's pretty much all Matthew says directly in the text that I just read. There's way more than six words in those 10 verses, and some of them describe some rather dramatic stuff: an earthquake, a huge stone being rolled back from the entrance to the grave, an angel's appearance that was like lightning. And there's even that four-letter word, snow. The angel's clothing was as white as snow. Yet, Jesus is risen from the dead is pretty much the extent of what Matthew has to say. Just a simple announcement. Jesus is risen from the dead. No delving into the meaning of it all. No explanation about what far-reaching effect this will have on humankind. Though there are some hints about the meaning of this event. Some hints about the effects that it will have on humankind. The hints are in the dialogue. "Do not be afraid," are the first words of the angel to the two women. There's been an earthquake, there's been this huge stone move, they've encountered an angel whose appearance is blinding. Plenty of reason to be afraid. "Do not be afraid," they are told. Then the women encounter Jesus, and he says the very first thing right away: "Do not be afraid." I wish I could tell you that means nothing bad will ever happen. Some will tell you that, but to tell you that would be a lie. Do not be afraid doesn't mean we are immune to all diseases, nor shielded from bullets that might kill a 2-year-old or an 18-year-old, as happened in the last few weeks, or make us exempt from a job being eliminated because of belt tightening or poor management. Do not be afraid is not the assurance that nothing can go wrong, because things often do go wrong. It's not the assurance that everything turns out for the best. That's not always true. Do not be afraid does mean that the risen one is with us, helping us, and has the power to strengthen us and uphold us. It does mean that God's word, God's promise, will prevail, that evil may win some battles here and there, now and then. But the risen one has locked up the final victory already and gives us little victories, extraordinary strength, healing, newness, even now. Even now. Do not be afraid. 2 times in the text points to the courage and the hope that the risen one gives us in the face of danger and struggle and the challenges of living in the world in which we find ourselves. Do not be afraid. Then the angel tells the 2 women, go quickly and tell his disciples, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Galilee. If I'm standing on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and facing north, as I am, this area right here is the highlands of Judea. And those first 4 rows are Samaria. And then the back 2/3, you're in Galilee. That's where I always sit, in Galilee. Usually northern Galilee, as it turns out. Why I gravitate to the back row, but I do. Go and tell them that he will meet you up there in Galilee, where you all used to hang out. He'll meet you back in the hood, where he healed folks, fed a bunch of folks, exorcised demons, told stories, sparked faith, blessed children, blessed all kinds of lives along the way by showing compassion not only for the sick and possessed and grieving, but to outcasts, tax collectors, lepers, sinners, and others. He's gone back up there, ahead of you, into the old neighborhood where he used to minister to folks, where he's gone to do so again, and where he intends for you to do so again, at least until you disperse to some other neighborhoods where you'll do the same. Jesus is risen from the dead means that God's people, the body of Christ, the physical body of Christ that is you and me, are called and sent to love and serve, to bless the world God loves. The world where the risen Jesus already is at work and calls us to join him in his mission to love and serve, to bless all people. Tell them I'll meet them in Galilee. Go quickly and tell his disciples. Go quickly and tell his disciples. What were those 2 women thinking as the angel spoke that? Go quickly and tell his disciples? Really? The women must have thought. go quickly and tell those guys who just failed, fled, and froze with fear? Oh, yeah. Go and tell them all is forgiven, forgotten, flushed. And then when the two women encounter Jesus himself, he underscores what the angels just said. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. Go and tell my brothers, yes, those guys who failed and fled and froze with fear, my brothers. Jesus uses flawed people. Lucky for me. And you. Jesus uses flawed people in his mission. He picks them up, patches them up, and sends them back into the fray in Jesus' name and with Jesus' power. Well, not so much patches them up as simply makes them new, makes us new over and over again, that we might be the body of Christ in the world. Sends us into the world God loves to reflect faith in the midst of doubt, to love in a world of hate, to make peace in a world of violence, to engender hope and encouragement in a world that is filled with despair. Uses us, the body of Christ, his mission. I guess the message of the angel and of Jesus boils down to 4 6-word memoirs. Don't fear, I've got your back. Called, sent to love God's world. Me? You? Yes, by God's grace. Jesus is risen from the dead. Could have saved a lot of time if I just told you those 4 memoirs up front, huh? Well, except I get paid by the word. No, but by God's grace, I am called to preach gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus is raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.